This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we head into week number 3 of the National Football League and into week number 4 of the college football season. I know a lot of conversation about Eli Manning being benched and where the Giants are going with their rookie quarterback. I am also looking forward to some of the matchups in college football in week 4 because I'm old enough to remember when Tennessee, Florida used to be a thing, and it's not a thing anymore. As a matter of fact, Tennessee has only one win against Florida since 2005. One. That's it. That used to be a pretty good rivalry in college football. Danny Werfel and Peyton Manning. It also was, at one point, a critical game in the 2001 college football season in which Miami was one of the top teams in college football, not one of the top teams in all of college football, the history of college football. And everybody else was playing to be the number 2 seed, the number 2 ranked team that would go to the Rose Bowl to play Miami for the national championship. And who was it going to be? And it was one of those weird weekends, like a 2-week period in which that team changed hands almost on a daily basis in terms of, well, game basis. As one team would have it, they would lose. Another team would have it, they would lose, et cetera, et cetera. And Tennessee, Florida played a critical role in that because of 9/11, that scheduled game between Florida and Tennessee actually got moved to the latter part of the season, the last game of the season in Gainesville. And by that time, Florida was exposed enough that Phil Fulmer developed a great game plan to go down to Gainesville and win that game by running the ball and running it down Florida's defense. And they won that game. And at that moment, Tennessee actually held the number 2 slot for about 10 seconds until they got to the SEC title game and lost that. And ended up starting with Nebraska and going back to Nebraska. But nevertheless, Tennessee-Florida played a real important part. Manning and Werfel and Peyton Manning's inability to beat the Gators, and it was a great rivalry. Steve Spurrier and Phil Fulmer, and Spurrier trading barbs and making comments about Tennessee. It's gone. Tennessee is a less than program. Maybe one day it'll be back. It's still one of those SEC games, though, that still feels important, even if it isn't. And that's one of the games that's going to be happening this weekend.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, the big story, of course, in the NFL is Eli Manning being benched. Daniel Jones, that era begins as they play Tampa Bay coming up this weekend. We go to our Progressive Insurance Hotline. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them at progressive.com today. We've got a former New York Giant tight end and part of the Giants broadcast team, Howard Cross, joining us on SB Nation Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very good. And yourself?
Good. A big, big piece of news here. And look, all of us will look at Eli Manning through different lenses, those of outside New York, those in New York. How is it being perceived in New York today that the Manning era for the Giants has come to an end?
You know, it's being done very respectful. They're talking about his career, how good he was. People are debating right now Hall of Fame, not Hall of Fame. The way he kind of exited or stepping aside with class, saying that, hey, I'm disappointed, but I'll be a good teammate if this is the direction you want to go. I mean, he's always said and done the right thing in that aspect, so there's not a lot to complain about.
Too soon, just right? How is the timing on this from the Giants?
I don't know exactly what the timing, because you got to kind of look at it from Coach Schumer's standpoint. You can't look at it from an Eli standpoint. You have to look at it from, you have a coach who's, okay, evaluating this team. Where are we? Are we competitive? Are we going to make a run at it? Like, okay, Eli's hitting his receivers. They're just not catching the ball. There's not a lot going on. outside of Saquon offensively. We have a rash of injuries all across the board with these guys, and my defense can't stop anyone. So do I stand on ceremony with Eli, or do I just start getting this kid some reps? Because if they're not going to catch the ball from Eli, they're probably not going to catch the ball from him, but at least he can get the, you know, the reps in and start getting himself acclimated to the league and, you know, trying to have what minimum success you might have, or maybe he'll have great success. Maybe it'll energize the team or something. Either way, Coach Schumer did a move as much for himself and for Daniel Jones as it is for the team.
A lot of that in April, when the Giants drafted Daniel Jones, it was highly criticized. People were wondering where the Giants were thinking. And then all of a sudden, here comes training camp, here comes preseason games. Jones plays well in those games enough for people to go, oh, maybe I was wrong about Daniel Jones. What did you see in this in Jones during the preseason that we might have missed from the outside in the New York area?
I saw him play in college a little bit. You know, my son's being recruited to play football. One of the schools he looked at was Duke. You start paying attention, and you know, you ask Coach Cut, like, who are your pros on your team? And immediately he goes, like, you know, the quarterback is special. So immediately every time, there's a few clips of Duke, I was trying to see what was going on and how this kid was playing. And he was definitely playing well. I was like, wow. So if he had a few more playmakers on the outside, they would have had a bigger conversation about him all year long. It wasn't like, you know, we watched the Ohio States and the Oklahomas and even the Alabamas and the receivers are running wide open a lot because they're so talented. They're able to get that open. He didn't have that luxury. He had to play with what he had. I'm not beating on Duke's receivers, but he had to play with what he had. So it was just different.
Do you think Eli steps into that role as mentor? I mean, he seems to be not warming to that idea, but he seems like he would fit that mold. Some players don't want to do that. Does Eli want to be a mentor now?
No player wants to be a mentor. Everybody wants to play.
Right.
But I think it's more comfortable with Eli because, you know, he worked with Coach Cut. Him and Peyton both worked with Coach Cut, the head coach of Duke, forever. So, You're hanging out with Coach Cutcliffe. You're working with Coach Cutcliffe. You get to see some of his players when you're down there. You're working out, throwing balls, going through progressions, learning techniques, and trying to get your mind right. And all of a sudden, you're watching this kid there. But man, this kid could be special one day. You probably have a rapport with the kid. You may even have a friendship with the kid. And now they draft the kid that you've been watching all this time grow up. So I think that the transition will be easier because they know each other. I don't know if that's, you know, he's not probably, I think he wanted to win. I think he wanted to go out in a blaze of glory. So having someone come in and step up and take your spot is just, that's just part of the game.
Former New York Giant tight end Howard Cross joining us on a Progressive Insurance Hotline here on SB Nation AM. Howard, you've been part of that organization for, 30 years? I mean, since you got drafted with now with the broadcast team. Eli Manning's legacy with the Giants. Where does he fit?
He'll go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks. He already probably holds all the passing yard records and everything. But he'll just go down as, you know, the guy who won two Super Bowls, who hung in there regardless of how the team was constructed and played as hard as he possibly could. I don't think people realize, like, there are some years when, you know, things were pretty lean and he just kept playing and kept grinding. So, and never complained. And that's what you're going to get from Eli. He's never been a quarterback to throw anybody under the bus. He's never been a quarterback to, hope, wish, or campaign for something. He just goes out and play, regardless if the players are around him are great players, or the players around him may not be great players. He kept doing it over and over and over again, not complaining, stepping out there. And he got his butt handed to him a lot of games because he just didn't have any protection. Didn't say anything, would get up and just keep going. And a kid that's like extraordinarily durable because he took a lot of hits.
The argument can be made, Howard, that this is not the right team for a rookie to start, given the deficiencies on defense, maybe need Golden Tate to come back, offensive line issues. Is that could you make that point that this could be detrimental to Jones's growth, that he's going to be on a team that's got a lot more problems than just quarterback play?
I would laugh at that because, again, you know, no offense to Duke, but he did play at Duke, and Duke plays against Clemson and Florida State and a feisty Syracuse team. He's playing against great competition week in and week out, and, you know, holding his own and taking a lot of hits. And he just didn't have the quote-unquote playmakers around him when he was there. So to come into a situation with an NFL team, which is almost the same situation you left in college, and you're going to pick up a few more players as you go, I think he's in the right position.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's in terms of the organization, as I know, the John Mara had said, boy, he really wishes Eli would play the whole season and whatnot. Is this a dark day? I mean, I hate to put it in those terms, Howard, but is it an off day for the organization that this had to happen?
No, I just think it's a day leaning more towards the future. And I think that's kind of the way, that, you know, I don't know if they're how they're, I didn't talk to anyone about it or speak to anyone, but it's just a day leaning towards their future. They're preparing for the next phase of the franchise. And they're hoping that Daniel Jones can be as successful as Eli was or even more. And that's you know, two Super Bowl wins, two Super Bowl MVPs, able to fight through a lot of things. Hopefully, they're hoping that he's as durable, and he's already showing the quote-unquote kind of, I'm the company guy, I'm going to do the right thing, I'm going to say the right thing, I'm here for you guys kind of mentality, which is great. But now if he can kind of box in everything else that goes along with it, it'll be awesome.
One final question, Howard, and we're talking to Howard Cross, former New York Giant tight end and now part of the Giants broadcast team. If Daniel Jones has an ordinary preseason for a rookie, not great, average, looks like he needs growth, but feels like he's the right player to play in the NFL, is this move made so quickly? In other words, is this move made because he had such a great preseason?
No, it's definitely made because he had such a great preseason. It's made because he looks like he's ready. You know, you got to start preparing. Like, there's no right time to let go of the guy who was successful, you know, predecessor to you. There's no right time to let go of a former MVP or a guy who beat Brady or however they want to, like, stack all the glorifying things they say about Eli. There's just no right time. But there's always a right time to get the kid that you're trying to make the predecessor his work, whether it's the end of games or the blowouts, whether it's, you know, okay, well, we're going to win this one by 3 touchdowns. This is your time to go in. All these different things are things that you want to get the kid in for. In the past, they showed that, hey, look, we're down by 3 touchdowns. We have 5 minutes to go. There's really no way for us to come back. But Eli's like, I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep trying to press the ball down the field. I want to, you know, let me go down with my teammates. I don't want to leave them out there by themselves. And that's, you know, that's the right mentality to have. If you're a player, you want to be there for your guys to the bitter end. You don't want to be sitting on the sideline because they're pulling you out of the game. It's kind of like pulling a pitcher, even though I know it's a little different now with relief pitchers and everything, but and closers. But you want to be the guy who closes the game and takes the last snap.
But, Howard Cross. Yeah, go ahead.
I said, but that's not always the case.
Howard Cross, again, former New York Giants tight end. Really appreciate your time on this issue. I know it is a lot to process for those of us who are not kind of in the belly of the beast of New York City, and you really kind of shed some light on it. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
You got it. Howard Cross, again, former Giant tight end. Our Progressive Insurance Hotline brought to you by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. All right, we'll come back. We'll analyze a little bit of that, what he said. A couple of nice nuggets of information, especially on Jones's playing career in college and how that does help him for a football team that's not quite up to par with things they need to get ready to win some games in the National Football League. We'll also analyze Eli Manning's Hall of Fame credentials. There are some that have made the point that he should not be in Canton. There are some who say he should. We'll analyze that as well as we roll along this morning on SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Kersey from Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. I got a safety tip for you today. For years, we've had it drilled into us that seat belts save lives. And most of us in the front seats are using them. It's a good thing because it's the law in every state. But a new report shows that we aren't buckling up in the rear seats. And it's becoming a problem. This is a big deal because those unbuckled folks in the back seats are 8 times more likely to be hurt in a crash. Because the rear seat passengers will slam into the front seat, injuring themselves and the front seat passengers.
Think about those folks in taxis and Uber rides looking at their phones. They seldom look up, much less buckle up. In Texas, the driver gets a $100 ticket if the passenger is unbuckled. Now, that'll make them buckle up. Remember, seatbelts save lives in the front seat and the back seats. This is Mike Hersham. Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by our great friends at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. Letstalkwheels.com.
At Jeep Adventure Days, you'll be ready to take on any forecast head on. And while some hide from the weather, you'll play surrounded by luxury in the Jeep Grand Cherokee. While others run away from the elements, you'll run toward them in the remarkably efficient Jeep Cherokee. While others see the weather as a foe, you'll see it as a friend in Jeep Compass, with over 70 standard and available safety and security features. And while others seek shelter, you'll find yourself right where you want to be, with nothing, not even a roof, standing between you and the weather, with the open-air freedom of Jeep Wrangler or Jeep Gladiator. Hurry in to Jeep Adventure Days for great deals on the most legendary SUV lineup. Jeep. When it rains, we shine. Jeep is a registered trademark.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, prepare for road trips. Before your travels begin, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So thanks to Howard Cross, former Giant tight end. Couple things about Howard Cross. Did you know he's played the second most games as a New York Giant next to Michael Strahan?
Nice.
I would not have guessed him as the number two guy in the long history of that organization.
He's number two. Eli got to be up
gotta
there,
be
right?
Up there. Got to be up there.
Man, maybe Eli was crazy.
It's like a 210 consecutive starts before he was benched. So,
well, maybe that's all of them.
Yeah, maybe so. I thought he made a great point about Daniel Jones, because there is the argument that's being made, like, look, you want to take a rookie quarterback, you want to put him in on a Giants team with no defense, wide receivers are deficient, offensive line's not very good, he's supposed to grow and develop as a quarterback, and you're putting him on this crappy team that's got all these other problems. Like, a veteran in Eli Manning would at least be able to manage through it, but you could destroy a rookie's confidence. And I like his answer. He went to Duke. They play Florida State. They play Clemson. They play these big programs.
Yeah.
He doesn't have those things at Duke. He's got to learn to live without a lot of the things that while he was at Duke. That's a great answer. That's a great, great point.
I mean, you think about some of the Clemson teams he watched.
Right, sure.
From the sideline. I mean, you know, you're talking about a Clemson team that's been in the national championship 3 out of the last 4 years.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. So
played,
I mean,
them.
He saw a really good Clemson team. He played against a defense where didn't the entire defensive line go in the first round last year?
Exactly. So he that's again a great point on his part about Daniel Jones. So I did like that answer. It's weird, and he said it. He doesn't think the organization is treating it as a, you know, dark day, but I kind of think people in that office today are feeling, or at least yesterday, were feeling like, oh man, yeah, it kind of sucks.
You know what it is?
No one wanted to end like this.
No one's going around going, wow, thank God.
Yeah, woo! right, exactly. This
it's
isn't something.
About time.
This is not, again, it's not even been called for by the fans, right? It's not something where fans are screaming that this had to happen. This is, okay, I get it. I understand it's time, but not exactly jumping up and down for it. It's weird. He's done. And as I said earlier in the show, don't mistake this as giving the rookie a few games, and then when he's not playing well, Eli just gets his job back. Like, Daniel Jones is now the starter.
Yeah.
For better or worse, he's the starter. He gets all the games he needs to develop into a franchise quarterback for this team.
This isn't like, oh, after two games he's not doing well. Let's just put Eli. This isn't musical chairs.
Now, Eli gets back in a game if Daniel Jones goes out with
exactly.
An injury.
That's the only way. This isn't going to be we're making another change because Daniel Jones can't cut it. Daniel Jones gets a lot of games to see if he can cut it, and it's not going to be flipping back and forth every single week. At
or
least
this,
it shouldn't be.
Or if everything goes the way we think it's going to go for the Giants this year, it would be surprising if Eli didn't play week 17.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah, I could see that. Yep.
You know, just one final. You know, right off into sunset, assuming, you know, they're not in playoff hunt. Because I'm assuming they're not going to be in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, that's right. And I, by the way, I also completely agree with him. Nobody wants to be a mentor.
Yeah.
Eli might do it, but nobody wants to be a mentor.
He said that so, like, condescending to you. Oh, like, no player wants to be a mentor. They want to play.
Because it is so, it drives me crazy when I hear this from fans. When you have a veteran guy, you're like, you know what we should do? We should trade for this guy, and then he can be a mentor. They don't want to do. Rod Smith of the Denver Broncos told me this when I was in Colorado one time, because there was all this talk about the Broncos bringing in a young wide receiver, and they're like, and who better to train these guys than Rod Smith? And I'm Rod Smith doesn't want to do that. What's wrong with you? And I remember asking Rod Smith, he goes, no, I have no interest in being a mentor. And I'm like, that's perfect. Thank you.
You want to know what the mentor is? Hey, Rook, watch me.
Right, exactly. You don't give up your job. What are you talking about?
You stand right there on the sideline. You watch everything I do.
Yeah.
That's my mentor.
See, and you guys, and some of you guys who believe that stuff, remember one thing. And this is only an exception on a few of the kids, because everything has exceptions. But for the most part, these guys that play for these teams, they're not a fan of these teams like you're a fan of these teams, right? They have no problems leaving the organization and getting a paycheck from somewhere else. They're not living and dying with the organization's success like you are. Like, we do it as fans because we're attached to them. These are the teams we root for. We're never going to go against them. We're in for the long haul. But players, they may have spent 10 years with an organization, but when the time comes, it's about business, and they'll go play for somebody else and get a check from somebody else because it's about their career. They're not interested in saying, oh, I could play for Baltimore, but I'd rather stay in Oakland because I'm a big Raider fan and I'll train this guy to take my job. That's not how it works.
Yep.
It's not how it works.
If you thought that, this is all you got to do, Joe Montana never would have left the Niners, right?
Absolutely. Stay forever. Make sure Steve Young's got this thing.
Yep. If Johnny Unitas never would have left the Colts. I mean, you can just pick out a handful of forgotten players who played for another team for like a season or two in the twilight of their career simply because they weren't ready to hang it up.
My favorite Johnny Unitas story when he was with the Chargers was he saw a bunch of players passing around a cigarette, and he wanted one until somebody said, no, that's not a cigarette. And he had to go, oh, I'm sorry, I thought I could take a drag. And they said, no, you don't. That's, they had to, one guy had to tell him, no, that's, you don't want that. That's not a cigarette.
California.
You people in California. Californians. But that's just the way it goes. And so, yes, you know, will Eli help Daniel Jones? Sure. But is he going to be a coach? No. Of course not.
No, you know, I could see him. He's going to be involved in the huddle sometimes when the quarterback comes over. And you always see the backup quarterback standing there but never talking. I bet you I can see Eli talking during that time.
Oh, sure. No doubt.
But, you know, offering maybe it's like, oh, you know what, they're doing this to you. You know, being somewhat of a coach slash mentor, but not really being that mentor. I mean, basically saying, you know, I'm here anyways.
Yeah, that's true. But what if Daniel Jones wins? Oh, my God. What if he starts winning out of nowhere?
Well, that's, yeah.
Oh, my God. Kinda the legend is already being built. Are you kidding? The legend is already sky high.
How many people are in New York right now going, oh, we're going 14-2, kids?
I hope zero. But still.
Daniel Jones is going to lead us to 14-2.
God, can you imagine if he starts winning games? Like, literally, like, wow, how did they do that? Right? They gave up 34, but they scored 35, right? Because that defense is garbage.
Yeah.
All right, I want to stay with Eli Manning here. I want to get to the Hall of Fame credentials. We'll also do some Dolphins coming up next. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, we got a good hour going on here, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Miami Dolphins, we team we've been talking about the first 2 weeks of the season is, oh my God, what really is going on there? Alan Poupard joins us, Dolphins.com, at a Progressive Insurance Hotline. Again, Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them at Progressive.com today. How are you, Alan?
I'm doing fine. How you guys doing?
Good. All right. So you can understand the 0-2 start and people wondering what exactly is going on down in South Florida. Okay. So flat out, are they tanking?
They are delivering. They are acting on their plan to set themselves up to build it the right way so they can have a consistent winner year in and year out, as opposed to going 7-8, 8-9, 9-7 year after year. Whatever term you want to use.
That's great. I would say that's a great answer. That's a great way to put that.
you can use whatever term you want to use. The idea is, again, they kind of knew that they would have to take a step backward to get to where they want, which is to build a team that can actually contend for the Super Bowl, which is something that hasn't happened down here for quite a while.
So give us the truth. Was it true that a lot of players demanded trades after the first game, or was it just a few and it got blown out of proportion? What's the actual story, what happened after their loss in week one?
Well, without being inside the offices, there's no way to know for sure, but I highly suspected that it was only one, maybe two. Minka Fitzpatrick obviously being one of them, and he got his wish yesterday going to Pittsburgh. But as these things go, obviously the headlines are greater if it's a bunch of players as opposed to if it's just one or two guys not happy with the situation.
Listen, I can understand a football team losing to the Ravens. They're a good football team. They are led by a dynamic quarterback. I can obviously understand a team losing to the Patriots. It just seems that the way they're losing, this doesn't look like an NFL-level team. Sure, you can be bad, but is this bad enough to warrant warning signs from the league that this is not even a competitive team?
Well, I mean, it's hard to argue the point considering how it looked the first 2 weeks. I will tell you this. If you saw the New England game, that score got out of hand in the fourth quarter with two pick sixes,
right,
and then the garbage touchdown at the end where Tom Brady's in the shotgun with 3 minutes left, up by 37, throwing down the field. The score actually was 7-0 with about 2 minutes left in the first half. And then he threw a touchdown pass to Antonio Brown, which I would surmise, or I would offer, probably should have been offensive pass interference. So they were competitive defensively. Offensively, it was a mess, no question about it. And then the first week, they were a little bit better offensively than they were defensively. They're not a great team right now. I mean, nobody would try to fool you into believing that. I suspect they'll get better. Will they win a ton of games? Likely not. But I think with what you saw in the first 2 weeks in terms of the margins, I don't think it's going to go on the entire season.
What is the Josh Rosen situation? Is he going to eventually take over the job? Where do they stand there? Because Rosen's a young player, and this is his second team in the second year.
Well, here's the thing with Rosen. I think everybody, a lot of fans and observers, really want him in there to see what he can do. But in the pockets of actions that he got mop-up duty the last 2 weeks. We saw him in the preseason. I'm not convinced he's not going to go in there and light the world on fire. I mean, there's obviously some things in his game he needs to work on. And when he gets to a point where he's made enough progress in those, I'm sure the Dolphins will put him in there. He's got a habit of hanging on to the ball too long. In fact, on Sunday against the Patriots, it cost him a shot to his knee that he absolutely had no business taking because there was nothing open downfield. He scrambled and ran near the sideline and didn't just chuck it away or run out of bounds and just kept trying to make a play, and he got hit for no reason. He's making some progress, but he was raw, a lot more raw coming in than maybe a lot of people had thought. So this notion that he was immediately ready to take over, and he needed to be there from the start. Maybe that was overblown. I would suspect we'll see him in there at some point, though.
It may be a difficult question to answer given the slow, obviously not very good start for the Dolphins, but there has been training camp. There has been offseason. How have you assessed the way Brian Flores has handled being a head coach for the first time in his career?
He's remained steadfast in his beliefs and what he's doing, accepting again that there would be some setbacks and there would be some difficult times, but he's not deviated. I mean, he stayed true to his beliefs, and I think that will serve him well in the long run.
We can do this in baseball. We do this in the NBA, where teams say, look, it's not today, it's not tomorrow, but we have a plan, we have a process. The NFL does say, look, you can do this quickly with draft picks. You've got salary cap. You can go after free agents. If you manage your money right, there's no reason why it should take a long period of time. Other sports, it does take a little bit of time to start building a winner. But how are people in Miami taking this process? Once the general manager, Chris Greer, came out and said this, what has been the reaction in South Florida to what we already feel like we know about this football team?
My take has to be what I see on Twitter, because I don't listen to talk radio very much. But
sure,
from what I've seen on Twitter, again, there are different camps. There's some camps of fans who accept what's going on and understand it, and again, who have been through all these 7, 8, 9, 8, and 8 seasons, who are like, you know, if this is what it takes to build a perennial contender in this, let's do it. It's going to be bad this year, but such is life. And there are those who are like, oh, my God, it's embarrassing. They're going to lose every game and all that, who are never happy regardless of what is being done. I will tell you this, like the owner Stephen Ross said in December, to keep doing the same thing and expecting different results was kind of foolish. And, again, the Dolphins for a long time were – middle-of-the-pack team, thinking they were a tweak or two away from contention when they clearly were not. And part of the reason it started at the quarterback position, and now they have made that their first priority, that they get a franchise quarterback. Hopefully it's going to come in the 2020 draft where they have all this ammunition. If not, maybe it comes later, but they're going to keep trying until they get that guy. That's obviously the biggest building block to contention. And then, as you mentioned, they have all of those draft picks. They're going to have a ton of salary cap, and they can get competitive in a hurry. How quickly they can put together a contender, that's a different question, but they can get respectable in a hurry.
How popular was Laramie Tunsil? Because, again, there was a national report that there was going to be very, very angry teammates if Tunsil got traded, and sure enough, he got traded. Were those reports true?
I haven't heard anything about that, and if that's happened, that's behind the scenes. Yeah, Tunsil was a very well-liked guy. He's a very going guy, got a great personality, very good player. Again, a team's throwing 2 first-round picks and a second-round pick in your face, and
sure,
basically because they keep calling and they keep upping the offer. I mean, Laramie Tunsil's a very good left tackle. I don't know how many teams in the NFL would turn down 2 first and a second for him, though.
Alan, from a standpoint of the organization, right, they're in a unique position because we don't see a team dominate a division like the Patriots for 15, 16, 17 years with a few little hiccups along the way. I mean, very rarely have the Patriots not won this division and not won this division going away. From the standpoint of the organization, hasn't so much of their troubles been that, like Buffalo and like New York, they're literally been playing for a wild card spot in the AFC rather than being competitive against one of the juggernaut teams in the National Football League?
There's something to that, absolutely, no question. But I mean, to get to the Super Bowl, obviously you want to be able to beat New England, so. The fact that they're in the same division, it's a double-edged sword. Yes, it makes
sure
it tougher to win a division title. But on the flip side, it gives you something like an immediate target right there in your face that you have to deal with. If you're going to win the Super Bowl, you're going to have to go through New England at some point or another, unless they have an aberration of a year where everything goes wrong for them. But I think right now the Dolphins are more worried about, let's build our team up right, and then we'll worry about New England if they're still viable at that point as a Super Bowl contender every year.
Thank you for your time, Alan. Some good perspective on the team. We were just kind of curious about where, you know, 2 weeks, there's a lot of stories flying around Miami. There's a lot of stories and people's opinion about what's going on. I'm glad you're able to help kind of straighten it out a little bit. Appreciate your time.
Oh, and my pleasure. Anytime, guys.
Thank you. Alan Popar joins us, Dolphins.com, our Progressive Insurance Hotline. Look, let me make this point because, again, I understand where they're going, and he's reiterated a number of times. Look, they're saying, look, we're going to build. We got to build for the future. But in reality, think about being in the AFC East. It could be Buffalo. It could be the Jets, obviously, with the Dolphins, right? Think about being in the NFC East, for example, right? Every now and then, a team wins 13 games. Okay. But a lot of times, you can win that division with 10, right? You can look at a division like the AFC South, right? Sure, when Peyton Manning was in it, it was a tough division to win. But, you know, hey, Andrew Luck's hurt. Houston's playing pretty well. Maybe you can win it with 10, 11, maybe 9. Get you, right? That's not the AFC East, right? The Patriots are going to win 12, 13 games a year. If you are looking at your season and you are saying we want to win a Super Bowl, how do you win a Super Bowl? Well, you got to get to the playoffs. How do you get to the playoffs? Well, you win your division or you're one of the two best teams that don't win the division. And so when you're looking at your own division, it's a daunting task to look up at the Patriots and go, well, if we're going to win the division and have a home game in the divisional round or in the championship round, we got to win 12, 13 games.
Yeah, you know what's funny you say that because one of the things that always crossed my mind, you knew the Patriots are going to win the division. And so, you know, most conferences, most teams, say if you look at the Steelers, Steelers are competing with three teams. If you're any of the other AFC East teams, maybe you're the Dolphins, the Bills, or the Jets, you're competing with like six different teams.
Exactly. Your mindset is so different. If you say to yourself, if you're doing a real honest evaluation of your team, right? Not the pie in the sky, everything's awesome, we're going to be great. If you're a GM and you're like, I know my deficiencies. We are weak here, 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 and here. And we're not as good as the Patriots and here, 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 and here, including quarterback. But, right? And you go, okay, guys, this is the reality of our team. This is the reality of what we have as a roster. How do we project this? Every single year, you're going in there going, well, how do we compete with everybody else that won't win their division, whoever they may be? Rather than saying, maybe our division is winnable with just 10 wins. Maybe our division is winnable with 11 if we can squeeze that out. But we don't need to win 14 to beat out the Patriots, right? That's the daunting task of those three football teams is that for 17 years, outside of a few hiccups, right? Like when Brady got hurt or whatever, you're looking at your division going, guys, if we're going to win this division, we need 12 wins.
You say hiccups like that one time Brady got hurt.
That one time Brady got hurt, right?
Other than that, he's always been there.
He continues
to be there.
That's the problem is that you're evaluating your team going, guys, it's got to be 12. Are we a 12-win football team? And a lot of general managers would go, absolutely not. Okay, but we might win 9, 10, and that might be good enough to be a wild card.
That's when the general manager goes, in the AFC South?
Right. God, I wish we could physically relocate to another division. Right,
I just wish it would make sense if they put us in the AFC South.
Sure, exactly. Excuse me. Where? Yeah. East.
I guess technically they're on the East Coast.
Yeah, everybody else is in the Northeast. We got to play in this division against that team.
We got to do this sometime. Just come up with our own realignment.
I know, completely.
Because, you know, if an AFC East
team... Stick Indianapolis up there.
If an AFC East team like the Dolphins would probably sit there and make a case going, you know what, you know, for the last 17 years, can you put us in the South, please?
Yeah. By the way, I've been to Indianapolis many times. I've never had sweet tea, okay? I've never had biscuits and gravy, okay? Maybe they have it, but I don't, you know, it's cold there in the wintertime. There's no South about Indianapolis. Certainly isn't Miami.
God. Now, see, the way it's supposed to work, Indianapolis should move to the North. Baltimore goes to the East.
Baltimore goes to the East, right. Yeah, you could do that whole realignment. That's a good point. That's a good point. All right, it's SB Nation Radio on SB Nation AM.
Turn it up!
You're listening to SB Nation AM.
on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so, goodness. We're just having so much fun with the Dolphins at the Dolphins' expense. I feel bad for them. I don't. I liked Allen's take, though, on the game on Sunday against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Well, that game got out of hand in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It did?
That's when it got out of hand.
When it was 23-0, we still had a shot.
You're saying there's a chance.
0 points. He goes, well, Josh Rosen's playing in – well, here's my argument with Josh Rosen, okay, because he's playing in garbage time because the team's out of these games so early, and then Rosen comes in. And he goes, well, they haven't really seen anything. But wouldn't
– He came to us raw.
Right. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Right. But let's be honest, right? Wouldn't you want to see a quarterback when he's had the full Monty, right? He's got the whole week. He preps the whole week. He starts the game with a 0-0, running the offense that way. Rather than garbage time against a team that's killing you?
Is there a team out there that kind of did that recently? I feel like there's a team like yesterday where they're giving their young quarterback a chance to get a full weekend.
They didn't say it's 43-0, go play. They say, here, have a whole week to prepare and then play from the beginning to see exactly what you have. They should do that. I don't know.